Jesus ends his gospel today with a helpful command, be perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Very helpful. I know, be perfect. First reading we hear, be holy as the Lord God, as I am holy, right? Well, as we all know, we are part of an imperfect club of people called people. And so this command can kind of shock us a little bit. But of course, we've been talking last week and then this week again about the sacrament of penance. We are made perfect. We're made perfect by our baptism. But life goes on after baptism, and we trade in that baptismal grace sometimes for actions that are beneath that baptismal dignity, which would be bad news if Jesus Christ didn't institute for us the sacrament of reconciliation, that opportunity to restore our relationship with God and to restore our baptismal grace so that we can fulfill that command to be perfect. Not perfect because we're so amazing, but perfect because Jesus is so amazing. Jesus is perfect, and we graft ourselves on, we're made members of his body, and we're healed whenever we decide that we don't want to be a part of that body, that we're restored to him. Today we're going to talk about how to make a good confession, and the first thing to keep in mind is that it's all about relationship. It's about a relationship with God. If you offend someone, it's part, you teach your kids this, you learn this your whole life, what you do is you apologize, right? And you apologize in a specific way. Love in as a whole is very specific. Love is born out in actions, right? And so is sin. Sin is born out in actions, a lack of love, a betrayal of a relationship. We know this with one another. If someone comes to you who's offended you and says, I'm sorry, and you say, for what? And they say, oh, just in this sort of general way. Well, that's not going to make you very happy, right? You have to say, I'm sorry that I did this, right? It's the same thing in our relationship with God. With the sacrament of confession, we can kind of get into our heads like this fear, especially if it's been a while, that I'm not doing it right, I'm not checking the boxes. We always, whenever it comes to the moral law or even religious practice, we have to get out of our heads that, you know, this is something like filling out our tax forms and a giant faceless bureaucracy is going to come ding us if we do it wrong. That's not the case. God is not the IRS. He's a person, right? He's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with whom we have a relationship. And if we violated that relationship, just like any relationship, we have to say sorry on that person's terms, the offended party's terms. The good news is God is always there to forgive you, that he's waiting for you to come to him and to allow you to hear with your own human ears a human voice in the person of Christ say, I absolve you from your sins. That you have that confidence and full knowledge that when you enter into the confessional, that your sins are truly forgiven, not in some vague way, but in a particular concrete way. Those sins that you have listed that you committed are now forgiven. Confession is not an optional practice in the church. Confession is required of us as part of an ordinary Catholic practice, part of our ordinary Catholic faith. It's part of who we are as Catholics. It's not optional. At the same time, it's not scary either. It's free, it's easy, it's fun. Not that much fun, maybe, but we all go to confession. Who goes to confession? I go to confession. So, what do you do when you go to confession? Well, here's an example of a good confession. You walk in there, the priest says the sign of the cross, and you say, Father, I don't really know what I'm doing in here. Great, that's a good confession. It's not, the priest's scorecard isn't back there, opening remarks, D, okay. This is going to go poorly, right? And then he hands you the report card. Your sins are mostly forgiven. Go forth in guilt with a vague sense of not knowing whether you're forgiven or not. No, it's concrete. You go in there. The only things that you have to be, and this is in your soul, are humble, humbly admitting where you violated that relationship with God, and honest, to say it out loud and get it over with. If you go in there, all you do is are humble and honest, and you quote-unquote mess everything else up, that's a good confession. It's a great confession. What's most important in the confessional is Jesus, right? Jesus is more important than you are. He's more important than I am. He's there to forgive you of your sins no matter what they are. That's the most important thing. As far as like the other stuff, the priest is there to make sure everything goes okay. In the end, all that you need is to confess your sins, and he has to say the prayer at the end, absolution. I absolve you from your sins. If those two things happen, it's a good confession. All the other stuff is details to make it run more smoothly, and we'll talk about it a little bit today. But as far as what do I need to make sure I have a good confession, go in there, humble, honest, have a priest in there too. It's all good. So there's this one story an old priest tells. This old lady went in there and she said, you know, because I usually say this, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. She said, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which are about to see. Okay, so still, not a big deal. Okay, so you go in there. Usually, you make the sign of the cross. If you don't make it right away, the priest makes the sign of the cross because it's an act of worship, right? It's a ritual. It's part of our worship of God to offer up to him our sins, which isn't a very good offering from our perspective. But God takes those sins, and just like he transforms the bread and wine into his body and blood, he transforms those sins into something good in our lives, that he bestows grace upon us. So we start out invoking the Holy Trinity in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The way I was taught, then I say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been X amount of days, weeks, months, years, decades since my last confession. Okay, that's there just to help, you know, the priests know where you've been, for you to admit this is how long it's been, and to help, you know, facilitate the experience. So you say, this is how long it's been since my last confession. And then one thing that you're supposed to say it doesn't always get communicated, right, is your state in life. So are you single? Are you married? Are you a priest? Are you a deacon? That just helps. It characterizes the sins. For instance, if you say, you know, if someone comes into confession and says, I missed Mass. Okay. Well, is that person a 10-year-old student who doesn't have a car? Is that person the head of a family? Is that person a priest? Okay, because that would be a bigger deal. You just say your state in life. Just say, I'm married. Okay, that's for a lot of you. I'm single, I'm married, I'm a priest, I'm a nun, I'm the Pope. Okay, this is say your state in life. Then you confess your sins. When you're thinking about what sins have I committed, you know, the essential sins that you need to confess are your serious sins, mortal, grave, serious sins. And those you confess in kind and in number. Again, when you violate that trust of a relationship, you name specifically what you did wrong, and then you say sorry. And if it was multiple times, you say multiple times wrong. Now, there's no need to fret about, like, getting it with pinpoint precision accuracy, if it's several, if it's once. But just the idea of saying, okay, I've done this multiple times, I need to confess that I've done it multiple times. So when you go into the confession, what do I need to say? Humbly and honestly, my serious sins. That's what's essential. Now, if you go in and you want to say some venial sins too, you can pick out, you know, some the not as serious sins, but the ones that weigh on your heart more. So you can pick a few of those out and then confess those sins as well. In our, you know, practical context, there's often a line. And so if you confess your sins, essential, mortal sins, and then you can choose the venial sins that you want to confess to. But just be aware that there's other people trying to get into line. And oftentimes, there's a lot of people trying to get into line. So you don't need to confess every time that you committed a venial sin. Like, you know, I went 30 into 25 on Monday. I went 30 into 25 on Tuesday. I sometimes speed. Okay, that would be enough. And you don't even need to confess. Our venial sins are forgiven when we receive the Eucharist, when we make an act of contrition on our loan, when we use holy water. Venial sins are just little things that disrupt that relationship but don't damage that relationship fundamentally. And it's good to mention them if you're struggling with it, but as far as like what's essential to the confession, serious sins. If you want advice, then that's a great time to ask for it. If you need advice for something that's going on in your life, perfect time to ask. If you want clarification on whether something is sinful or if it's seriously sinful, perfect time to ask. If not, though, the priest is there to forgive your sins. He might offer a few words of counsel, but it's not, the sacrament of penance itself isn't for giving counsel, it's for absolving sins. It's for repairing that relationship. When I go to confession, my preferred mode is to say what I need to say quickly and then just like hope the priest doesn't talk too long and then be on my way. And I try to, if that's like the generic kind of standard way for confession. If you want advice, if you want a more narrative experience, that's great. And then the priest will give that to you. If you need some life advice, indicate that, and then the priest will give it to you. But if you don't really ask for that, the priest is more just going to give a piece of general advice because, again, what's most important going on in there is the forgiveness of sins, right? So the general mode is to just say your sins and receive absolution for those sins. There's also, you know, a danger what if I forget a sin? Then you leave the confessional a couple hours later, you kind of go into a panic. Your sins are forgiven, just to be confident in that. If you make a humble and honest confession, you leave that confession, your sins are forgiven. If something big popped up and you're like, I need to confess this, then you come back at your next confession and just mention it. You don't need to run back immediately and go, oh yeah. No, you just, your sin's forgiven. Just come back at your next confession if you remember and say, I also forgot to mention this one once. It's different than intentionally withholding a sin, which is important to know that you're not going to hurt our feelings if you say some sin. It's okay. Just be honest. Like the sin that you don't want to confess, that's probably the one that you need to confess. It's not embarrassing. It's not, God isn't ashamed of you. Just to say it out loud and get it off your chest once and for all, which is one of the beautiful gifts of confession, is to be honest, to say it out loud, and get it over with, right? Otherwise, it kind of sticks back here, and it brings itself up once in a while. When the priest says, I absolve you from your sins, that sin is done and over with. Jesus forgives you, and then, what's sometimes harder, is that you forgive you, that you let it go. If Jesus can let it go, again, he's more important than you are, then you have to let it go, okay? But just to say it out loud, not to harbor things that you're afraid of mentioning, okay? You say your sins, usually it's nice to indicate that you're done. I say, and I'm sorry for these sins and the sins of my whole life. The priest offers, again, depending on the confession, a little bit of advice, and then he assigns a penance. With the penance, I personally give easy penances, so sue me, okay? If you want a harder penance, you can do a harder penance. You can do whatever you want. You can fast from, meat for the rest of your life. That's up to you. But as far as the penance that's tied into the sacrament of penance, it's not the most significant thing going on. What is it? It's a way for you to make amends for the temporal damage you've done to the body of Christ and to your relationship with God. It's essential to the sacrament, but it's not tied in directly to the forgiveness of your sins. The forgiveness of your sins, as I mentioned, is free. Not free for everyone, just free for you. Jesus Christ paid for your sins by his blood. He paid for all of our sins by his blood. That's the cost. Cost to you, absolutely free. That's the core bedrock of what the sacrament of reconciliation is. It's also why it doesn't really depend on you filling out the form correctly. Jesus Christ paid for your sins. All confession is humbly admitting that you've sinned since your baptism and getting that sin wiped away so that you're restored to your baptismal grace. But it's all paid for by Jesus Christ. The penance is to remit the temporal punishment that you've got, the kind of secondary effects that you've done. So when you leave the confessional and you forget your penance, or your penance was confusing and you're like, did I do it? Just do your best. And again, your sins are forgiven. Maybe you can go back to the confessional next time and say, and Father, last time I went to confession, I was confused by my penance. I didn't do my penance. I forgot my penance. So I did my best and moved on. The only way you can really get into trouble is to say, I don't want to do this penance because I hate Jesus. And then, okay, well, that's a bigger problem. But if you just forget, we all forget. We're all confused. When I give penances and when I receive penances, I prefer something that's easy to do. It's concrete. You can know when you're done with it, right? Okay, so that's the easiest form. But if you ever go to a priest and he gives you a more difficult or vague one, just know if you do your best, that's sufficient for accomplishing that penance. And again, it's not directly tied into the fact that your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Okay, so the penance is there. Do it to the best of your ability. This is a fun fact. Know your rights. So if you go to confession and the priest says, for your penance, I want you to read the entire Bible by tomorrow. Okay, you don't have to just take it lying down. You can say, Father, I'm sorry, I can't do that because I have a life. Okay, so you say that. You have the right to say that, and then you can kind of like negotiate down to where you're comfortable. Again, I give easy penances, but to know if even if it's like a rosary or something, if you can't accomplish that with some sort of peace of mind, you have the right to say to the priest, Father, could I get a lesser penance, please? Because I just don't think I'm going to be able to accomplish that one. Or if it's confusing, to say, Father, can I have like a penance that makes sense, please? Because I don't understand that. Okay, so you have a right in that regard. Next comes the act of contrition. The act of contrition, again, is a place where some people get a little bent out of shape or flustered. You know, in the church, we have the Our Father in English, which we've had for hundreds of years. That's kind of the same. Everyone knows the Our Father, right? For the act of contrition, unfortunately, there's like 14 different versions, and everyone knows a different one somehow. And it's not tied into, you know, the forgiveness of your sins, depending on how you make your act of contrition. Again, the priest isn't there saying, oh, he chose that one. Wow. That's not the cool one anymore. No, it's not. It's fine. Just what's there in the act of contrition is you saying out loud, I'm sorry for these sins, most of all because I offended God, and I resolve not to do it again. There's even the shortest form that's an official one, which says, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. One complete sentence from the gospel, that's a sufficient act of contrition. I say one that's longer, that I memorized when I was a kid, but again, it's not that important. If you forget your glasses and you can't read the little card that's there, if you're in a place that doesn't have a little card, just say, I need help. I can't remember the one, then the priest will help you. The act of contrition isn't like a formula in the sense of something that needs to be said for the validity of the sacrament. It's just, and you can even do it in your own words. Some people aren't comfortable in their own words, so the church provides a formula. But as long as you provide that you're sorry for your sins and that you resolve to do them no longer, you can say it in your own words. Again, just keeping in mind the line behind you. Then comes the most important part after you've confessed your sins. This is the part that's essential. Again, it's the priest's job to remember this, not yours, where he says a prayer and then fundamentally, I absolve you from your sins, which is the most beautiful part of the sacrament. Basically, I destroy those sins. That's kind of what the word absolve means. That Jesus, by his blood, by his cross, has wiped away those sins, never really to be thought of again in your mind, unless you want to take some lesson that you learned from committing that sin. So that's the most important part. I absolve you from your sins. Go in peace. Essentially, you know, the confession ordinarily takes about 3 minutes, right? It's not this long, drawn-out process. It's not, you know, you say your sins, you receive forgiveness from your sins, unless you have a little bit more that you'd like to communicate with the priest or receive in terms of advice. But essentially, it's about the forgiveness of sins, and it's a pretty reasonable process. Thanks be to God, right? Because he's made it so easy for us to have our sins forgiven that all we need to do is go before his representative of the church and the person who stands in the person of Christ, say it out loud with our sins, we're forgiven, move on. At the cathedral, we hear tons of confessions, and we're willing to hear as many confessions as we need to. So don't be afraid. Again, realize it's an essential part of our Catholic life, non-negotiable, but also that it's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be scared of. One of the things, you know, that just needs to be said once in a while is the seal of the confessional. The seal of the confessional is easy. You know, there's a lot of gray things in life. Seal of the confessional is black and white. Nothing can be said ever about someone and the sin that they confessed, period. Every priest takes that with utmost seriousness and would never violate that. There's no negotiation on that one. When you're in seminary and you're a young priest, you're like, I would die for the seal of the confessional, which is actually true because the one saint who lived in Prague about 500 years ago, he was the confessor to the queen. The queen said, or the king said, what did the queen say in confession? He said, I can't tell you. He said, what did she say? I can't tell you. I'll kill you. He's like, I hope you don't do that, but I still can't tell you. And he threw him off a bridge, and he's a martyr, St. John Nepomuk, a Bohemian martyr. There's other martyrs like that in history. It's literally something that we would die for, the seal of the confessional. Beyond that is, what if I go to a priest and that I know? Is he going to think less of me because I confessed? You know, now he knows I'm not perfect. Well, first of all, I know you're not perfect already, so there's no kind of mystery there. But second of all, it would never lessen my estimation of someone that went to confession to me, because what do I think is the most important thing in life? Maintaining your relationship with God. And so if you come to me and you say, this is what I've done, what you're saying by your actions is, but what I take more seriously is my relationship with God. And the priest that you're confessing to is himself imperfect. So it's not a shock to learn of other people's sins. If the opinion of someone changes, it grows in estimation because he knows that you're taking your relationship with him seriously. Now, in addition to that, I know this from personal experience, it's nice to go behind a screen, which is the screen is there to protect your confidentiality. It's also to emphasize the fact that you're going not really to that priest in himself, but you're going to Jesus Christ himself. You don't need to see that priest. You just need to communicate that and hear those words of absolution in the person of Christ. The screen is kind of the ordinary way to go to confession. Now, you're able to go face-to-face, and some people prefer that. But the screen is always there for you. It's not like a bad thing to use the screen. In fact, it's kind of the ordinary way. I personally, when I go behind the screen if it's available. So the screen is there to protect your confidentiality, to emphasize the presence of Christ in that sacrament. But just always know, even if you know the priest, that it's never, even in like our own minds, which don't really matter, it's never going to take you down a notch. It's always going to, you know, emphasize the fact that you take that relationship with God seriously. Just a little, you know, tidbit. If there's a line and the priest is coming into confession and doesn't, like, make small talk with you, again, it's to protect that confidentiality. So a lot of times you kind of look down and scoot by the line to get into the confessional so that for people who don't want to be known, that is maintained. So it's not, we're not being brusque. We're just trying to, you know, maintain that level of confidentiality. How often should you go? Well, first and foremost, if you're in a state of serious sin, it's important to go and get that absolved. So that's, you know, at your next possible available confessional time. If you're just kind of looking for a habit of going to confession, not aware of serious sin, but you're just trying to cultivate that habit of going to confession, it's up to you. You know, the church requires that we go once a year. If you want to get into a habit of more than once a year, I think once a month is good. Once a month is a good time, amount of time to go to confession, but that's up to you. What I think is helpful as a principle is to get into a habit of going to confession more than once a year, if you desire that, to just kind of say, if it's going to be once every 3 months, once every 3 months. If it's going to be twice a year, Advent and Lent. If it's going to be once a month, you know, pick first Saturday of each month. So just to kind of try to get into a habit. So it's not, obviously the more you go, the easier it gets, just like anything. So just to kind of set that for yourself is good advice. In general, too, that point escaped me. It wasn't that important. I think I covered it all. Any questions? the main point of it all, oh, yes, this is the point. So again, anytime you talk about confession, it needs to be said. If you've ever had a bad experience in confession, give it another shot. That priest should be, he'll have to answer to Jesus for making you feel uncomfortable or bad. The confession is not a time to convince you of your sins. As a young priest, I would say one of my greatest joys is hearing confessions. I love hearing confessions. Why? Because God has been working in that person's life, and then you just come in at the end and you absolve them of their sins, and I know how important confession has been to me in my life. So confession really should be this occasion of joy. If it's ever not been that for you, you know, that's bad. That shouldn't have happened. And to just give it another shot. I hope I've never, you know, caused that in anyone. If I have, I'm sorry. But I don't think I have, because the confession is an occasion of joy. It's a happy occasion. In Luke chapter 15, you know, there's the three stories: lost coin, lost sheep, and lost son. In all of those cases, every single one of those confessions ends in a party, right? Like a literal party. So when you go to confession, it should be a time after confession to go get a donut or have a beer with your friends. And why are you having a beer? Just because it's a great day. It's a great day. Just to be happy. The goal of confession is to have that joy of being in a good relationship with God. So there's never any sense of shame. Shouldn't be any sense of regret. It's you're the lost coin, sheep, or child. You're back into the graces of the Father, and there should be joy in that. So if there ever hasn't been joy, just give it another opportunity, because of the weakness of the priest. Just give it another opportunity and to experience that joy. So again, confession is an essential part of our life. It shouldn't be anything that we're afraid of. And it's our ability to respond positively to the command to be holy and to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Not because we make perfect choices all the time, but because Jesus has made that perfect choice for us once and for all.